Like to announce the conference committee for the photo ID bills. What are we working on?
Senate file 509.
509. For the record, today's date is May 14th, 2011. And we're here to confer the photo ID bill. Perhaps what we should do is go around the room and introduce ourselves. Why don't we start with Krista?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and members, I'm Krista Boyd. I'm fiscal analyst for the Senate.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, I'm Alexis Stengel, Senate counsel.
Mr. Chair, Rod, Senator Chamberlain.
Mr. Chairman, Scott Newman from McLeod County, Meeker County.
Mr. Chair, Ray Vandeveer from Northern Washington and Anoka County.
Mr. Chair, Allison Garby, the CLA for Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, Mike Adah, GOP Research.
I'm State Senator Warren Limmer from Maple Grove in Northwest Hennepin County.
Representative Mary Kiffmeyer from the heart of Sherburne County.
I'm Mr. Chair, Joe Marble. I'm the committee administrator for the State Government Finance Committee in the House.
Mr. Chair, I'm Keith Downey, State Representative from 41A in Edina.
Mr. Chair, Denise Dietrich, House District 47A, which is Champlin and Coon Rapids, which is part of Hennepin County and Anoka County.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mike Benson from Olmsted and Wabasha counties.
Mr. Chair, Tim Sanders, representing House District 51A in Blaine.
Mr. Chair, Matt Gehring from House Research.
And Mr. Chair, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff.
Well, great. We're all glad we finally got to this moment. So,
yes.
Shall we begin with a review of the bill?
Mr. Chair, we have the language side by side.
All right.
And
we'll start on that.
That can be used. And, Mr. Chair, I would propose as we walk through that any items which we can make a motion to accept as we walk through, that we would do so.
That would be fine by me. And if there's any questions along the way, we'll take them as we go.
Mm-hmm.
Please proceed,
okay.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On Section 1 through 5 on pages R1 through R4, those five sections are identical except for Section 1, the House provision, has a small difference. And so, Mr. Chair, I would propose the adoption of Sections 1 through 5 on the House.
They seem identical to me, so.
There is that one small difference in Section 1 that has to do with on the Senate side. On line 2.18, you have an extra language there, except that the data may be released to a government entity or a court for purposes of carrying out its functions. That is stricken on the House side, and the House prefers a tighter constraint of data practices, which I believe you would prefer as well.
So Representative Kiffmeyer moves to accept the language on 2.19 and 2.20 on the House language side. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Kiffmeyer, you said that Sections 1 through 5
are then...
5 are identical.
The rest of it is identical.
The rest is identical.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion?
I'd like to move the adoption. Okay.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves the adoption of Sections 1 through 5 as amended. All those in favor, or any further... discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Now, what page are we going to, Representative Kiffmeyer?
Page R6.
R6.
Actually, it's R5, excuse me. Section 6 on page R5. Okay. Mr. Chair, on Section 6, which begins on line 6.1, on both sides of the side-by-side language, and in this case, Mr. Chairman, I believe the Senate language from 6.3 to 6.5 would be preferable, and that on the Senate side, and line 6.5 to 6.14 on the next page from the House. So, Mr. Chair, would you like me to move line 6.3 to 6.5 Senate first?
Yes.
Okay, well, that is move Section 6, 6.1 actually through 6.5 on the Senate.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves the adoption of Senate language 6.3 through 6.5.
Excuse me, 6.1, just the titling.
Oh. Correction, 6.1 through 6.5 as Senate language to be adopted. Is there any questions regarding that? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And Mr. Chairman, in regards to the application for voter identification card, just for the sake of those who, I believe everybody has a copy to follow along, but the line 6.5 to 6.14, Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption. And the main thing here, Mr. Chair, is that the language in particular on 6.8 provide a description of the applicant in the same manner as required on an application for a Minnesota driver's license. Just cleaning up the language a little bit, I think, which is also the Senate intention, but not as explicitly stated, which it does on the House side.
Understand.
Yeah. And then also the last four digits of the applicant social security number on line 6.6. And but those are the two differences, Mr. Chair, and so I would move the adoption of line 6.5 on page R5, continuing on to line 6.14 on page R6.
Representative Kiffmeyer, we had discussion in our hearings regarding the use of Social Security numbers. And we had used not the last four digits, but an entire Social Security number. And we just simply removed the Social Security number reference. And in this case, you're using just the last four digits, and so that should not be any, that we're not divulging any full Social Security number, and it's used for a tag number, or what is that last four digits used for?
Mr. Chairman, in regards to the last four digits of the Social Security number, the Federal Help America Vote Act, in all voter registration applications, allows us to request the last four digits of the Social Security number. So we are covered by federal law. But again, any part of the Social Security number, according to Minnesota law, is classified as private data and will be treated as such. And in the earlier section of this bill, that was explicitly stated that that information is private data.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves the House language on line 6.5 through 6.14.
On the House.
On the House side. Is there a further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail.
And, Mr. Chair, on starting with Section 7 on page R6 and continuing through, actually, it's the next three pages. So R6 and through R7, they are Sections 7, 8, 9, and 10, and they are identical. And 6 deals with the definition of applicant, mainly just technical inclusion, including the voter identification card as part of the definition language here. The fee as well, again, technical language and implementation of that, and continues on through. And also on line 7.18, the department shall transmit payment to the agent. This makes sure that the DVS areas are received their $5 so they aren't short in processing the voter identification card. Section 10 has to do with the filing photograph or image data classification. And again, just making sure in this regards that the data classification is the same as a driver's license, and it is private data pursuant to Chapter 13 of the state law, which is what I referenced before.
That's right.
So those three sections, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and I would make a motion to adopt those four sections on the Senate.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves to adopt Sections 7, 8, 9, and 10. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. One thing I'd like to make mention of, I know there's some people in the audience. If they have any, if they have a desire to ask a question, you're welcome to do so from time to time. But we're going to continue going through the bill. So if there's an issue that you want or a clarification, please let us know. Next
okay.
section.
Okay, Section 11, again on page R7. In this case, Mr. Chair, in Section 11, there is a difference in language on page R7. They are the same for Section 11, but on the following page, starting with line 811 on the House side, there is a difference. And again, it's a technical from before, that the description of the applicant is done in the same manner as provided on a Minnesota driver's license, just a little bit more specific. And also here, Mr. Chairman, something that is not in the Senate bill, and that also in this section there is the, if they have affirmed a religious objection, the card can bear the words valid without photograph. And that is language that the House took from the Senate as you worked through your part of this bill. And we agree that that was good language. And so we included that already. But also, in addition, on the House side, on line 8.18 on the House side, an individual eligible to apply for status as a permanent absentee voter under Section 203B.04, Subdivision 5, and that is just where it gives who qualifies for that. And that is for people with a disability or an illness who are not able to leave their home. This language allows them to submit a photograph consistent with any size or formatting requirements of the Commissioner of Public Safety for use on a voter identification card issued under this subdivision. It allows them to do this through the mail, and they don't have to appear in person. And, Mr. Chair, this has been cleared with the Department of Public Safety. And the size and formatting requirements would be similar to getting a passport where you kind of designate the size of the head. And so that is acceptable to DPS. And so, Mr. Chair, the rest of it is identical on both the House and Senate side, but due to those differences, I would move to adopt Section 11.
One question
on the House.
That I did have. Representative Kiffmeyer, the 203B.04 sub 5, do we have a reference of what that is? Just wanted to make sure that's what we're dealing with.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I believe we have Mr. Gearing here that can.
All right.
Mr. Gearing, could you give us, is it a rather short section, sub 5? I believe it is fairly short.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, yes, it's fairly short. I can read it to you if you'd like.
Just, yeah.
So Section 203B.04, Subdivision 5, is the subdivision that relates to individuals who have a permanent illness or disability that prevents them from going to the polling place. And it provides that an eligible voter who reasonably expects to be permanently unable to go to the polling place on Election Day because of illness or disability may apply to the county auditor or municipal clerk to automatically receive an absentee ballot application before each election other than an election by mail, et cetera. And it provides that the voter may have their status as a permanent absentee voter be indicated on their registration record, then allows the Secretary of State to adopt administrative rules to implement that section.
Any questions on that reference? Yes, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kiffmeyer, if we could go back to line 8.17, the provision for a card that is valid without a photograph. What provisions are in the bill to make sure that the person who has the card is the individual if a photograph isn't available?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Newman, it is a religious objection, and it is current law that we are referencing. And so it is whatever in this case would be applied under current law. And this is an area that we feel, since it is already current law, that allowing a voter identification card similar to a driver's license, an ID card, since they have the right to do it in regards to those two documents, that we would continue that as well for the voter identification card.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Any other questions? Representative Kiffmeyer, could you renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll do so. I renew my motion to adopt Section 11, line 8.4, and page R7 on the House side through page R8, line 8.21.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves to adopt language in the House version of the bill, lines 8.4 through 8.21.
Mr. Chair,
I just need to amend it. It actually goes through line 8.28. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gehring. I heard the rustling.
Through 8.28.
Yes.
Also all of Section 11.
All of Section 11, yes.
Any other questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Kiffmeyer, or Representative Kiffmeyer, sorry to demote you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That makes it a lot easier. I'm used to saying Mr. Chairman or Madam Chair. So, Mr. Chairman, on Section 12 through Section 17, all of these sections are identical on the House and the Senate. Section 12 has to do with the expiration date, and again, lining up the voter identification card with the other cards in that section of law. This improved security, subdivision 9, again, same consistent language there, lining it up with the driver's license and a Minnesota ID card. Section 14 is using the Social Security number. And again, just another statement here to data privacy. And in this particular case, the data privacy says that must not be used in regards to creating the number, nor can it be included in a magnetic strip or barcode. So again, just another strengthening of data privacy in regards to the voter identification card, as is also with the driver's license or the Minnesota ID card. And Section 15 is, again, the same language under religious objection, similar to the driver's license or the Minnesota ID card, continues on as was referenced earlier in 17107. Section 16 has to do with the duplicate license, again, including the voter identification card to that as well. And so that is included here and is identical in the House and Senate. And Section 17 on R10, Section 17 follows along, and that has to do with the cancellation. And so, Mr. Chair, these items on both the House and the Senate are identical, and I would move the adoption of Sections 12 through 17 from the Senate.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves language 12 through 17, sections 12 through 17 of the Senate language?
Yes.
Any questions? Yes. Representative Dietrich.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kiffmeyer, I was just wondering, or if the chair would prefer to answer, in both the House and the Senate version, they have a voter identification card expires on the birthday of the applicant in the fourth year following issuance. I was just curious, not being on any of the committees that have heard the bill in detail, why the fourth year?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is consistent with the driver's license and the Minnesota ID card. So throughout the way here, we have chosen to, as close as we can, to follow the same process and the same timing, because it makes it a lot easier for the Department of Public Safety if we don't have differing things going on to keep track of those things. So in this case, again, that's why we chose that.
Representative Kiffmeyer, sorry, I have to step out. But did we adopt your 12 through 17?
It's section 12 through 17. Not yet, Mr. Chair.
All right. As your answer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kiffmeyer renews her motion to adopt sections 12 through 17 of the Senate language. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. I'm going to have Senator Newman take over my spot.
All right. And thank you very much to the Senate, who did a lot of work on the section of Law 171 in regards to on the hearings they had and catching all these details. We really appreciate and welcome, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Okay. The next section is Section 18. And Section 18 is the documentation of identity and residence. And, Mr. Chair, in particular, in this, the Department of Public Safety, again, much of this language is very similar to the driver's license or Minnesota State ID card or voter card. But in this particular case, as we proceed through this language, again, we are modeling it on those same pieces of language and continuing on with that. On the House side, on line 12.9, on R11, this is the section where if the voter resides in a shelter facility designated for battered women, and again defined in statute 611A.37 sub 4, their driver's license ID card issued to the voter that contains the voter's photograph and so on, and along with a certification of residence in the facility signed by the facility's administrator. This is House language. On the Senate language, it is includes residential facilities. But, Mr. Chair, we would prefer the House language for Section 18. And I would move adoption of Section 18 on the House side. That would be lines 11.12 through 12.14.
Representative Kiffmeyer has stated her motion. Is there any questions or comments? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted.
Okay.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Section 19. And, Mr. Chair, on the side-by-side, the Election Day registration is numbered Section 19. On the Senate language, and it's labeled Section 20 on the House, but it is the same statute. They're just section numbers different. And this is the Election Day registration. And it strikes a large number of language, which later on has been replaced in other areas of the bill. And so this is striking old language, and there is new language that is previously adopted to replace it. And the language in both in the House, in the Senate on 19 and the House on 20 is the same all the way through Section 19 and section on the Senate and Section 20 in the House. And, Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of Senate Section 19.
Any questions with respect to Representative Kiffmeyer's motion to adopt Section 19? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Section 20 on the Senate side and Section 21 on the House side. This is procedures for polling place rosters. And the main new language here, and again, this is current language, is just adding that the address listed on the polling place roster must be the voter's address of residence unless the voter has requested that the address printed on the roster be the voter's mailing address because the voter is a judge or a law enforcement or corrections officer. And this is an issue that came up that is actually a problem right now, this current law. Many times the when they do same-day voter registration, they have a P.O. box for a law enforcement officer. They'll have a P.O. box on their driver's license as a matter of security for them. But that's a problem for them because current law requires them to put on a actual address. And so what we are doing here is making sure that while we are doing this process, I received a phone call from a law enforcement officer saying this had been a problem before, and if we could clear it up in this bill, it would be helpful to them. So that is what we did, and I think this is kind of a long-time issue. And just for, again, the voter is a judge, law enforcement, or corrections officer. Otherwise, you need to have your residence on these rosters. So, Mr. Chair, in this case, I would move the adoption of Senate Section 20, starting on line 14.15 through 14.34.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kiffmeyer, did I hear you say this is new language? Was this voted on the House floor, or is this new since?
This was voted on the House. Kiffmeyer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dietrich, this was voted on the House floor. Two are identical.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Kiffmeyer, you want to restate your motion, please?
Restate my motion for Section 20 on the Senate side. You have to choose one or the other, that's all. And Section 14, line 14.15 through 14.34.
Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is adopted. Senator or Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman, the next section is 21 on the Senate side, 22 on the House. And this is permanent registration, verification of registration. The first one is on the polling place roster. And in this particular case, on line 15-14, the language on the Senate side is current language, but an additional new language in precincts using electronic rosters. An individual seeking to vote shall sign a printed voter's receipt generated from an electronic roster that meets the standards provided, and that section 201.225 sub 2 will come later on. But again, the Senate language here makes a distinction between the paper rosters and then further down in this section, the electronic rosters. And then the next portion of new language starting on line 15.17. Again, this is a before the applicant signs a roster or a printed voter's receipt generated from electronic roster, the judge must require the voter to present a photo ID as described in sub 2 and confirm their name, address, date of birth. They cannot provide sufficient identification as required. They would cast a provisional ballot. The next paragraph, 15.23, again refers to paper rosters and storage of the data for 36 months. And in line subdivision 2, photo identification. Again, on the Senate side, it just describes what will satisfy it. And a Minnesota driver's license, state ID, voter ID that contains a voter's current address of residence in the precinct, an original receipt for a new, renewed, or updated driver's license, state ID card, or voter ID, and one that is expired but does not contain the voter's current address, and a ID card issued by the tribal government, but it needs to comply with Section 17107, sub 3, paragraphs A and B of current Minnesota law, as also the driver's license ID card and voter ID card do. And, Mr. Chairman, this is the Senate version on the Senate side.
You're adopting the Senate language?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on this first presentation, Section 21, line 15.1, and R14 through 16.11 on page R16.
Of the Senate language?
Yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves Section 21, lines 15.1 through 16.11. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer, I think I had in my notes that you wanted the House language for line 16.4 to 16.7. It refers to an invalidated driver's license.
Oh, right, because I remember there was a reason for that, because it includes the word invalidated. I think that's the difference in that regard. And that's right, that is a matter of distinction. So, Mr. Chair, in this particular case, on the would amend my motion to go to line 16.3 instead of 16.11.
Of the Senate.
Of the Senate, yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer amends her motion to read the adoption in the Senate language, Section 21, lines 15.1 to 16.3.
Correct.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Kiffmeyer.
And then, Mr. Chair, on lines 16.4 on the House side through 16.7, the main thing there is that after that is expired, we included the word invalidated, and that is when you have a clip corner, when you get your card back, they clip the corner, and you get a receipt for it.
That's
so
right.
That invalidated is an important addition to that. And so I would... we would be able to move the rest as I move the adoption on the House side then of line 16.4 through line 16.22.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves in section 22 of the House language, lines 16.4. through 16.22. Any questions? Hearing, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kiffmeyer, line 16.6. We've got language in there regarding the territory of the United States. Is it necessary to have that in there?
Would you like to make motion to delete or territory?
So moved.
All right. Actually...
I got a question. The United States does have territories.
They do indeed, I understand that, Mr. Chairman.
So you want that removed?
Yes, I did move to delete the words or territories.
You did, Mr.
Chairman. Senator Newman moves to amend the Kiffmeyer motion. On line 16.6, to remove the words or territory. Any questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, I was just, when I was reading that too, I again took language, and if maybe our counsel here or somebody, Mr. Gearing, you look like you have some, maybe some information on the including of the territories. Or maybe not.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, I guess I don't have specific advice, but that's sort of standard language that we use when we refer to other states is to include territories as well. So you have Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and other territories that would have driver's licenses that you might want to accept.
Senator Newman moves to withdraw his
motion. I will withdraw my my motion. Right. Thank you for that clarification.
Representative Senator Newman, I did wonder about that as well, but I didn't follow through enough to ask counsel as far as that was concerned, but I do know that we did generally use standard language wherever we could, and but I did wonder too, but now we know. Now we know. Yeah.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves to renew her motion of adopting language found in Section 22 of the House language, lines 16.4 through 16.22. Any questions? Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on line section 22, starting at 16.33. And that is the determination of residence. And again, this is the poll challenger area. This is current law. And what we do is that the voter casts a provisional ballot in the manner provided in 24C.135. And that is also the change is that the marked ballots shall be placed with the spoiled ballots. That, again, is clarifying. You don't need the word unopened. That's just technical. So, Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of Section 22 from the Senate. That would be lines 16.33 through 17.10 on page R16.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves to accept Senate language on Section 22, starting at lines 16.33 through 17.10. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on the next page, R17, we have again where the provisional ballots is numbered Section 23 on the Senate side and on the House side, Section 24. And Mr. Chair and members, under the provisional ballot section, again, we are going through the casting of them, the process, and the process is the same through the House and the Senate side. There are a couple differences. One of them is on line 17.10, where there is additional language, and who has not proven the voter's eligibility to vote in the precinct. And then on line 17.12, unable to overcome the challenges permitted. And, Mr. Chair, this the intention of including that language is to be generous towards the voter in being able to cast their vote, that even though they are listed as challenged or they are challenged, to make sure that they are able to cast a provisional ballot in any case, and this is extra language to preserve their ability to vote even in these situations. On line 17.21, the language in the Senate is the provisional ballot must be in the same form as the official ballot. On the House, on line 17.21, the provisional ballot must be the same as the official ballot. And what we want to do here is to make sure that it's not just the same form, but it is actually the same ballot, but it's cast in a provisional ballot. And this is similar to other absentee ballots when they are cast. It's the exact same ballot. It's just put in an absentee ballot envelope. But we want it to be the exact same ballot. So that language clarifies that.
So would the individual administering this have a ballot in an envelope that they put in another envelope?
That's correct. Just like an absentee ballot, you have a secrecy envelope. And if you go down a line 17.27, the secrecy and provisional ballot envelope shall be prescribed and they are of a different color, but very similarly handled as to a regular absentee ballot, and that's why we had to make sure they were a different color, so it would help the administrators not mix them up, because they are two distinct kinds of ballots. And the rest of the provisional ballot section includes the counting of the provisional ballots and also provisional ballot reconciliation. And that's a very important part of that, because there will be a provisional ballot roster and a provisional ballot box. And those two, again, must add up, that the number of signatures on that provisional ballot roster equal the number of ballot envelopes. Mm-hmm. And that be reconciled prior to bringing them back to the county. And they will be stored as all other election materials would be stored. And again, we've treated the provisional ballots wherever we can in the same way we would do an absentee ballot in this language.
All right.
And so I would move the adoption of the House language on section 24, 17.4 line on R17 through on page R18 line 18.28.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves to adopt House language, section 24, lines 17.4 through 18.28. Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chair, the next area of the language, I would suggest that this is the a campaign finance provision, mm-hmm. and that we had discussed just setting this aside temporarily.
All right. That's House File 20. Well, this would still be section. Oh, it's section. It's not. Well, let's just call it page 23.20. Is that where you are?
Yeah, it's page R18 on the report.
R18.
But it's
House
line
side, mm-hmm. lines 23.20 through 27 on the R18 page, and proceeding through to
24.6.
Line 24.6.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll put that off for now.
Mm-hmm. Or would you rather deal with it, Mr. Chair?
Why don't you describe it a little bit, and then we'll make our decision.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, the time for filing is what is in front of us in this section, and this is the Campaign Finance Board time for filing. And on line 24.3 on page R19, this is where the treasurer of a political committee, fund, campaign mm-hmm. committee, or party unit made expenditures in aggregate within the year exceed $5,000 must file a report by April 7th, July 7th, and October 7th when there is no general election. This is already, and so, Mr. Chair, this was the governor had given indication through the media that this was of interest to him to have in this bill.
Representative Kiffmeyer, the Senate members have not had any chance to review this, so I think what we'll do is we'll put this off to the side for now, and we will probably have a discussion in the Senate members, so we're get to be a little more familiar. So why don't we put this off for the moment?
That would be acceptable.
All
we'll
right.
just...
We'll just keep moving.
Hold it
on
to the end or something?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And I haven't, our office has not received any indication from the governor's office on any correspondence or comment at all. So we're kind of in the dark on this.
Well, Mr. Chair, the letter that we sent on Monday to the governor, then you have not received any response from that
That's
letter?
Correct. That's correct.
Neither have I.
All right. So let's put it off to the side.
Okay. Then the next section would be section 18, again, a section only in the House side, Mr. Chair, senators and members. This is the appointing authority, powers and duties. And on the House side, this was requested by the Minnesota School Board Association. They had a problem with when they hired election judges to work for elections run only by the school district. Those election judges, since they were hired by the school district, were then employees. And that, yet even though it was one day or a half a day, all of the paperwork as employees and everything else was an issue for them. So they requested, and the only thing is there's one word that I think would help clarify this, because we've had some questions about what this meant. But an individual serving as an election judge, and insert the word only after judge on line 34.9, seems to me that that would kind of clarify the intention of this language. If that, do you think it works? Does that help if we insert the word only?
That would be after the
judge.
Word.
Yeah. So it would read, notwithstanding any other provision of law, an individual serving as an election judge only is not an employee of a school district, regardless of whether an office of the school district appears on the ballot in the precinct at the election.
Representative Kiffmeyer, would the word only fit in better on line 34.8 and read, notwithstanding any other provision of law, an individual serving only as...
Sure.
An election judge, comma, is not an employee of a school district, regardless of.
That I think that would do it.
Okay, Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R19, lines 34.8, after the word serving, insert the word only. And on 34.9, insert a comma after the word judge. Any questions?
I think that would work well.
All right. Hearing none, all those in favor. Did I hear anybody? hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Kiffmeyer, did you want to move Section 18 of the House?
I would like to move Section 18 of the House, then, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves Section 18 of the House language, starting on line 33.24 through 34.10 as amended. Any other questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, on the there's a Senate-only provision, Section 24. And, Mr. Chair, this section has to do with, again, current law, 204C.14, unlawful voting penalty. And, again, treating things consistently. We have a list there of items that says no individual shall intentionally. And there's a list of things, and we needed to add requesting a provisional ballot or requesting that a provisional ballot be counted. And so there are a variety of things. There's a list there of items, and so that is a Senate-only provision.
Mm-hmm. Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R19, the Senate language found on lines 18.34, known as Section 24, to be adopted from lines 18.34 and onto page R20 down through 19.13.
That's correct.
Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Okay, Mr. Chair. And we have several provisions now that has to do with technical language, canvassing of state primaries. The county canvass, the state canvass, there are several sections here that all have to do with canvassing the results of elections and then also getting the reports to the county and to the Secretary of State. The total number of sections that deal with this area are 25 through 31, and I appreciate working with the Secretary of State staff in regards to lining these up so that the sequence of data coming from the precinct to the county to the Secretary of State and all of those canvassings was thoroughly discussed. Mm-hmm. and that these dates and deadlines do fit in with our current Minnesota law so that their timing fits in. And so I would move the adoption of sections 25 to 31 that cover page R20 to R23, and that we would take the Senate language.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves sections 25 through 31 of the Senate language. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And Mr. Chair, on section... Thank you. The next sections of the bill deal with the public financing. Section 31 of the Senate language. They're a little
31.
Bit off. Yeah, they're a little bit off on their numbers, so it's... It gets to be a little challenging, doesn't it? They're on same subject but different section numbers. And so the section just want to be sure that I got them all covered here, Mr. Chair, as we went through all of this. And, Mr. Chair, on the we've worked out the Section 32 on the Senate side and Section 19 on the House side, both deal with a state-subsidized voter identification card account. And, Mr. Chair, on several of these areas that have to do with finances, I have a proposal to take all of those sections that have to do with money. And we have worked through some language that puts them all together. So it's this way they're mismatched and many times a little bit different. And your Senate side has a different way of handling on vehicle registration renewals area. Mm-hmm. And then some transferred also connected with that. And the House, we deal with them in two very different kinds of ways from the General Fund and the Help America Vote Act. So in consultation with staff, we have actually an appropriations amendment, but maybe we could set that aside and come back to that when we've dealt with all the policy, and then we could come back and work on the money language, if that's okay. Okay.
Any objection? All right, so we'll do that.
Okay.
So are we going to skip over Section 32 in the... Found on R23?
Yeah, that would be basically on page R24. It would be all of that page. It actually starts just as a titling on the previous page, but that's just titling. And the content of the language is all on page R24. Section 34 actually matches up now in the House and the Senate. We're right at the end of the article.
So we're going to hold off on the provisions above Section 34.
34, that's correct.
On either side.
On both sides, yeah.
Okay. And we'll return to that later.
That was my thought. It might be easier to stay on the policy.
That's fine.
Areas first.
Everyone tracking with that? Okay.
And, Mr. Chair, the effective date to complete this article, the effective date on the House side, again, includes, except where otherwise provided, this article is effective June 1st, 2012, and applies to elections held on or after that date.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would move the adoption of that effective date, Section 34.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves adoption of Section 34 of House language. Lines 23.15 through 23.17. All those, or any questions on that? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And just to clarify, Mr. Chair, the Section 34 in the Senate is exactly the same as the House in regards to the effective date. It's just the add-on language that is different.
Right.
That is why we took the House
All right.
language. Okay. Mr. Chair, Article 2 has to do with election administration. And, Mr. Chair, Section 2 on the House side is the difference between the House and the Senate side. In this case, is that on the House side, we have added, again, due to comments, several comments that I received that were problems, some court cases, matter of fact, and some students who were deported because they voted while not a U.S. citizen. And sad stories indeed. And so I think this would be helpful to them. It did pass on the House side, is adding on the student housing list a note that is that any student on the list that is known to not be a United States citizen. Most colleges well know their foreign exchange students, and they will be on student housing. And at least in that regard, we can assist them by putting that note on the list.
All right.
And so I would move Section 2 of the House on from line 24.7 through 24.16 on page R25.
Representative Kiff mover, Kiff, Kiff, it's a late weekend. Mm-hmm. Representative Kiffmeyer moves starting Article 2, Section 2, starting on line 24.7 of page R25 through 24.16. On the House side language. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Kiffmeyer.
And Mr. Chair, on the next section, they are titled a little differently, but they are on the same subject of rules. In particular, this is an area that received quite a bit of work on the House side. And the language on the House side, initially the fiscal note on the language, which we had the same as you on the House side as well, was a very steep fiscal note. And so the effort that we made here was to be more true to the intention, is that implementation of the law would be consistent between any rules or as much placed into statute, especially on election law. And so in Section 31, the Secretary of State would report to the legislature with proposed legislation to amend matters currently contained in administrative rules as necessary to implement and make specific this act. But they would be brought to the legislature so we could make sure that legislative intent and consistency was there. And to the greatest extent practical, this proposed legislation must propose codifying into law matters that otherwise would be enacted through the administrative rulemaking, but to the extent that codifying matters into law is not practical, the proposed legislation would direct by law specific changes to be made in administrative rules so that no interpretation of the law by the Secretary of State would be necessary and use of the good cause rulemaking exemption would be appropriate if the legislature authorizes that use. In particular, Mr. Chair, in election law, the consistency between statute and rules, as noted by the last two recounts, is really, really important. And I believe this would save a significant grief and money and litigation later on if it were done in this way.
Representative Kiffmeyer, when we say must report to the legislature, is there anyone specifically we report to, or do they leave the report with the Secretary of the Senate or the Clerk of the House? Should we designate it to perhaps the chairs of the committees affected?
Mr. Chair, I think that would be a good improved addition to this language.
Perhaps we can have counsel draft the appropriate reference, and then we can come back to Section 31.
Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, we will come back, and that would be... So we'll leave Section 31, is that your thought, just until council
yes.
comes back with?
Yes, once they have it, they can interrupt us and we can sure. get on to that. All right. Please continue.
Okay, Mr. Chair. On Section 3 on the House and Senate, this has to do with the permanent registration system. And on the Senate side, the unique identifier shall be permanently assigned to the voter, may not be changed or reassigned to another voter. This is language that the Senate side on the next page. This is quite a long section, actually. The permanent registration system continues on. But in particular, the Senate has correctly added on the page 25, on line 25.5, the voter identification card number, which the House did not have, and on line 25.19, again, the voter identification card numbers. Also, on the Senate side, which is good to have that included, designated specifically. And then on line 25.24, the difference between the House and Senate is the word believed to be. And on the House, we have we replaced that with reported to be. There was quite a bit of discussion in regards to the use of the word believe. What does that mean? Rightly so, but I just couldn't come up with a better word at the time. But after I read through the law in all of its sequencing, I realized that these are all reports that come. So we just use the word reported to be, and that, I think, is more clear, more specific to the intention of the law here. And so, Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of the Senate version, Section 3, on page R25, that runs through page R25, line 25.27, with an amendment that on line 25.24, if I could incorporate changing the word believed to reported on line 25.24.
Let's take the small amendment first.
Okay.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R26, lines 25.24, to strike the word believed and insert word reported. Any questions on that amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion is adopted. Going back, Representative Kiffmeyer moves House language.
Senate language, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, that's correct. Senate language found on
Infinitely better, Mr. Chairman.
I agree. On page R25, starting on lines 24.11, proceeding to the next page down to line 25.25.
One more.
And moving continuously through on to R27 to 25.27 as amended. Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We also moving the language up in 25.5 from the Senate. I might have just misheard the line numbers.
Mr. Chair.
Did we already accept that?
Yes, we did. When we move the adoption of the Senate language in Section 3, that includes all of those. And then I amended, the only thing I amended or needed to amend was replacing believed with reported. Otherwise, all those changes are incorporated.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Representative Kiffmeyer, but I can ask it offline. It's already been accepted. We'll just move on. Thank you.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. Please proceed.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kiffmeyer. On line 25.5 of the Senate language, it says that the statewide voter registration system must provide for the acceptance of the Minnesota driver's license number, Minnesota state ID number, and now we're inserting voter identification card number. Does that language, I never looked at this language because it was never edited in the House version. But does that imply that we have to take all four of those, or is this just historically, are we just saying, gee, there just have to be fields in the system that can be populated with this information if it's available, or is there any kind of an imperative, and is the word and the right word, or should it be or there?
Well, Representative Downey, are you referring to just the insertion of the voter identification card number?
Sort of, but I'm actually for the first time reading that entire paragraph and wondering if that's just standard language that has always existed for the statewide voter registration system. And
Mr. Chair, yes. All of the language that is not underlined is currently being done in the statewide voter registration system. And yes, Representative Downey, it is designed in such a way that an additional field or a number in this case in the appropriate area.
And we haven't worded this insertion in such a way that it's somehow assumed that we have to have that number. It's just if they happen to have a statewide voter ID or a state and one of the new voter ID cards, they can put it in if they have it. There's nothing saying in the statute that they're going to have one, I guess, is my question.
I understand. Yeah,
that's correct.
Right.
Maybe I could help.
If they have a driver's license number, they don't usually have both a Minnesota ID. They would probably most of the time have only one of those because if they have one, they usually don't have the others. Mm-hmm. And then there is just a field that is designed to accept it.
So if they have any of these
yes.
things, the system just has to be written in a way that it can accept that number
yes.
if by chance they choose to enter it.
Yeah. Representative Downey, if I could bring you to line 24.27. At the end of that, a line that says the system must also, and then going down to paragraph 6 on 25.4, the system must also provide for acceptance of driver license number, ID number, voter ID card number, now that we're creating one, and last four digits of the Social Security number.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it. And sorry for the distraction.
That's all right.
Good time to ask.
Representative Kiffmeyer renews her motion to adopt, going back to R25, Section 3, starting at line 24.11, going through R26, and going to R27, lines 25.27. Any questions?
As amended.
Oh, as amended. Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Okay, Mr. Chair. And then on Section 5, this is registration by election judges procedures. And the language on the Senate side is a bit more detailed, except for, again, the word believed to be ineligible should be reported. The election judge shall also review the list of individuals reported to be ineligible to vote using the electronic roster or a paper list. And, again, this is language that is the same, that first sentence. On the Senate side, if an individual is on the challenge eligibility list maintained, shall comply with Section 201.197. So just adding a statutory reference, which I think makes Section 5 better. So I would first amend the word on 25.35 to replace the word believed with reported.
I have a question, Representative Kiffmeyer. Mm-hmm. If someone does not report to the election judge, but if the election judge suspected something, does that mean that the election judge would be barred from action?
No, Mr. Chairman, because a previous section on poll challenging a voter allows the election judge, a poll challenger, or any person actually in the polling place, is how the law reads, to challenge a voter's eligibility. And so that always is specific in statute.
So this always allows an election judge to be a reporter.
That's correct.
Case.
Yes.
So, all right. Just in case. It's good to leave some of these comments on the record, the audio record, so we leave intent. All right. Representative Kiffmeyer moves to amend line 25.35 of the Senate language found on page R27 to strike the word believed and insert the word reported. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer moves Section 5 of the Senate language, lines 25.28 through 26.14, found on page R27. Any questions? All those or hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair, in Section 6, just a simple one word, the election judge responsible for election day registration shall keep a record giving clear direction. You either do it or don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But saying attempting to, what does that mean in statute? Clearly, the intention is to keep a record. So, Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of Section 6.
Representative Kiffmeyer, do we then need to alter the title on Subdivision 7 where it says record of attempted registrations? Do we take the word attempted out of that too?
No, Mr. Chair, because I think there it's the record of attempted and not the election judge attempting.
All right. All right. And you're moving the Senate language?
Yes, Section 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Representative Kiffmeyer moves to adopt Section 6 of the Senate language found on 26.15 through 26.20 on page R27. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. This is a real stimulus conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 6, the next one. I'm sorry. On Section 7, Minnesota statute, this has to do with deficient registration. And again, this is an area where the consistent with the current law, no voter registration application is deficient, and it includes the word voter identification card number, driver's license number, a little typo in there with the word or voter identification card number. So just make sure that that is all consistent there.
Do we want to remove the first or found in line 26.24 in front of voter identification?
Looks like that would be the same thing.
Because there's an or.
They're stricken in all the other places, yes.
Mm-hmm. Representative Kiffmeyer moves to strike on line 26.24 of Senate language found on page R28, the word or after the word number and comma. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer moves the adoption of Senate language found on starting on page R27, Section 7, lines 26.21, going through on R28 page, 27.10, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, the one thing is the insertion on 27.7 of the voter identification card. If you will see it over on the House side, we put the voter identification card over on the House side, but it is not on the Senate side. And my thought is we could move the Senate side because you have some that we don't have, but they're not in the same place. So if we take the Senate section there and on line 27.7 in that sequence, add voter identification card, voter identification number, and the same on line 27.9 in that sequence.
Do you want us just to adopt 27.8 through 27.13 on the House language, just this paragraph?
Sure, we could do that. That would make it cleaner.
All right. Let's go back.
We just amend my motion to
yes.
End at 27.5?
That's correct. Let's restate the amended motion. Representative Kiffmeyer moves, starting on page R27, of Senate language, lines 26.21, known as Section 7, going through on page R28, lines going through 27.5 as amended, be adopted. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then Senator or Representative Kiffmeyer moves in House language on page R28, lines 27.8 through 27.13. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. All Chair.
Right. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kibler.
The next section, 8, is registration files. There are no changes on that first part except for 36 months storage of the files. And the purpose of this is to have these available through the subsequent election. And I just move the adoption of Section 8
of the Senate.
Of the Senate, yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves Section 8 of the Senate language found on page R28, lines 27.11 through 27.26. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, actually the sections 8 through 11 are identical, and we did deal with Section 8 already. But in other words, Sections 9 are identical, 10 is identical, and 11 is identical. These deal with entry of registration information, again, including the voter identification card number, insertion routinely, and then also post-election sampling, no later than January 1 of the following year. That is identical current language, adding a specific date. And Section 11, posting voting history. On the very end of that section, it is information that is, though not counted in an election, a later rejected absentee or mail ballot must be considered a vote for the purpose of continuing registration under this section, but is not considered voting history. The rest of the language is technically not necessary.
So your motion is, Representative Kiffmeyer moves Section 9, 10, and 11 of the Senate language, starting on page R29, going through page R30. This would be lines 27.27 through on R30, 29.29.
That's correct.
Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, the Section 12. On Section 12, the title is on the bottom of R30. That's a challenged eligibility list. And on the House side, we include the words reported to be, where the Senate language does not have that. And so I would move the adoption of section. So they are identical except for reported to be. So I'd move the adoption of Section 12 on the House. Lines 29.33 on the House side.
Yep.
Through line 30.19.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves House language found on page R30, Section 12, line 29.33 through lines 30.19 on page R31. Any questions? Hearing none.
Sure. On the Senate side, there is an extra reference to voter identification card number. Representative Kiffmeyer, I think you want to include that.
Could you tell us what?
On the Senate language, it's on Senate line 30.3.
I missed it. Okay. Which means we could
adopt it over into the House language.
Yes, I think at this point that would probably be the best.
ID card number. Representative Kiffmeyer withdraws her previous amendment and moves to amend on page R31, lines 30.7, after the word state identification card, comma, inserts voter identification card
Number.
Number, comma. Everyone understand that amendment? Any questions? Yes, Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you repeat that line again?
Yes. Lines 30.7 of the House language. Any other questions? Hearing no other questions, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer now moves, starting on page R30, lines 29.33, going through lines 30.19 on page R31, as amended, be adopted. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Okay. And, Mr. Chair, to clarify also on the challenge eligibility list, that a difference between the Senate and the House was the striking of the words on 30.5 on the Senate side and other sources as the Secretary may deem determine appropriate. The House side does not have that, and that's just an additional difference. And the reason there is that there shouldn't be some kind of general other sources. That would be appropriate to define the sources and that they're reported and not to give any other latitude. So we agreed with that in the House and just wanted to make clear that we had made that distinction.
We've already made that change.
Yes, we've All made right. that change.
Thank
already.
You. Mm-hmm.
The next section is Section 13, Procedures for Polling Place Rosters. And again, this is a technical change on line 20.32. Of 36 months, it's identical. Section 13 is identical.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R31, section 13 of the Senate language, starting on lines 30.16 through 30.32. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And Mr. Chair, Section 14, which starts on the same page, R31, that's Section 14, and this has to do with application procedures, again, a lot of current law, and the main distinction here is that on line 31.20 on the House side, it is Minnesota's driver license number, Minnesota state identification card number, or Minnesota voter identification card number, the House side adds that third Minnesota. Other than that, they are identical. And the word, this is a long section, goes on to the next page. R33 goes on there. And again, instead of lists of known ineligible, the House version takes lists of reported ineligible. So it's the same kind of language, and otherwise it is identical, so I would, I think for those reasons that we would just take the House language for Section 13, and I would move the adoption. I'm sorry, Section 14. Section 14.
Mr. Chair, can I interrupt for a second?
Yes, Council.
On House line 31.33 after license, there's no number, but we say state identification card number, voter identification card number.
I have to get with you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Line 31.33 on the House after Minnesota driver's license. The Senate includes the word number, and the House side does not, just to clarify that.
Okay.
Which one would be more appropriate? Number?
It just does it with number after all.
Senate.
Senate.
To include the number?
I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Number.
So Section 14, there are three small changes then. One is that word number, Minnesota, and reported. And they're not, they kind of flow through both sides. So just a matter of picking one. The House version has Minnesota and reported, and we would just have to make one amendment to take the House version by putting in number.
Why don't you repeat your motion?
Well, Mr. Chair, I would first of all move to amend Section 14 on the House version to insert the word number on 31.33. And maybe you could...
Would that be after the Minnesota driver's license reference?
After the word license on line 31.33, we would put number?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that would be the first motion you would like, is just
all
to
right.
Make that amendment.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R33, lines 31.33, after the word license, insert the word number. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Next one.
And then, Mr. Chair, I would move the House section.
As amended.
As amended, Section 14 on page R31, line 31.3 through line 32.19 on page R33.
Yeah, Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page, starting on line, or page R31, starting at line 31.3, adopting the House language known as Section 14, going through page R32. And ending on page R33, lines 32.19, as amended. Any questions? Yes, do you have a question? Please come to the table, please. And could you tell us or identify yourself for the record?
I'm Max Halpern. I apologize for taking your time, but wanted to inquire whether the committee was aware that that issue that Ms. Stengel just raised also arises again on line 32.8, there's another place there where the word number might be inserted.
Mr. Chair, can I address that?
Yes, Counselor.
Mr. Chair, the language there would read Minnesota driver's license, state identification, or voter identification card number, and number is included at the end of those instead of after each individual one. So if we amended it, we would have to add number in a couple of different places.
I apologize.
Do you understand, Mr. Elbert?
Yes, I do.
All right. All right. So we're good with that last motion. No corrections were needed. All right. Moving on, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Okay. We've adopted then that section.
We did.
Okay. Section 15 goes on to the health care patient. Oops. Right.
We don't think we did.
Oh, okay.
So let's right. back up. Representative Kiffmeyer renews her motion starting on page R31, lines 31.3 of the House language, starting there, known as Section 14, going through page R32 and over to R33, ending at line 32.19 as amended. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Okay. Section 15 is under the healthcare patient. And, Mr. Chair, this particular section, the difference is on the language on 32.25 in the House. This is just strictly technical. Instead of by telephone being before from the municipal clerk, it's after. And instead of not later than 5 p.m., no later than 5 p.m., that's the only difference. And so I would move the House language on Section 15.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R33, Section 15 of the House language, starting on line 32.20 through 32.28. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Section 16 on the same page, preservation of records, just that's the language there. Again, a technical mm-hmm. amendment, and they are identical.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves Section 16 of the Senate language, lines 32.26, and this is on page 33, lines 32.26 through 32.30. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Then, Mr. Chair, We have a nice long series here
yeah.
of identical language.
I want everyone to know that we are more than halfway through.
Yes. And this is where we actually get a lot of identical and simple things. So we're more than half in regards to what it takes to do it. But section, in this case, 17 is identical. 18, 19, 20, and actually all the way through 25 on page R37. They are all identical.
Through 25?
Mm-hmm.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves, starting on page 34, Senate language starting section 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and through section 25 on page R37. Any questions?
And this is the Senate
language. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer.
And then, Mr. Chair, on section 26 on page R38, in this case, the difference here, Mr. Chair, is just a matter of technical, again, language cleanup. Instead of doing ballot cards using ballots, it's amazing how we find little remnants of old language. Ballot cards is many, many years ago language, and now we just simply call them ballots. And so I would move the adoption of the section 26 of the Senate language.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R38, section 26, starting at lines 37.12 through 37.19 of the Senate language. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer.
And on the next area, the sections, though they are the same subject, again, are numbered differently. So section 27 of the Senate and section 28 of the House both deal with manner, time, and contents. And, Mr. Chair, this area is section 27 is identical to the language of the House. There is no distinction between these. So, Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate section 27.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves of Senate language starting on page R38, line 37.2, known as section 27, through line 38.12 of the Senate language. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on these languages here, Mr. Chair, 28, actually, if you take section 28 and 29 and section 30 of these areas, matter of fact, I think it goes even section 29 through 30, yes, of this is Article 2. These are identical, and I would move the adoption of the these sections, 28, 29, and 30 from the Senate.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves language on page R38, starting at line 38.13 of Senate language through, known as section 28, through section 29, section 30, and through line 39.13. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Okay, Article 3, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Council.
Mr. I don't know if you wanted to go back to that rulemaking amendment that you we talked about earlier with the...
Yes.
Could you give us a line and page?
It's on page R25. It's House Section 31.
R25?
Correct. Mr. Chair, I conferred with Ms. Stengel, and we would suggest on line 40.1 of the House language, delete the word legislature and insert chairs and ranking minority members of the legislative committees responsible for elections.
Does everyone understand that amendment?
Mr. Chair, could you do it again?
Yes. Council, could you repeat the motion?
Mr. Chair, page R25 on the House language, line 40.1, delete legislature and insert chairs and ranking minority members of the legislative committees responsible for elections.
I believe that is pretty standard.
That is standard parlance. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the oral amendment as ascribed by our council. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, I would move that section. I think we need to move that section as amended then.
Oh, that's correct. Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R25, lines 39.34 of House language through lines 40.10. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Returning to R39.
Back to R39 and Article 3, electronic rosters. And, Mr. Chair, Section 1 and 2 are identical for the House and the Senate. And I would move the adoption of Section 1 and 2 from the Senate.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R39 going through R40, Article 3, 39.14, lines 39.14 through lines 40.7 found on page R40 of the Senate language. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is these next sections, Mr. Chair, just as a global explanation, is that the Senate side has what's called an online language, and that means includes internet connections to the Secretary of State and back. And the House version does what's called an offline version, meaning that the electronic rosters, computer equipment, only within the precinct itself are connected together, but they are not linked in any way outside the precinct. So that's the difference between an offline and online. And so, Mr. Chair, in this regard, on Section 3, on page R40, lines 41.7 to
41.32. 41.7?
Yes.
That's on page
R41. That's section 3. Mm-hmm. R40, starting on R40. Through line 41.32 of the House language.
Okay.
Will get us to that offline version. And I believe in the discussions and different discussions that we've had that the offline version was preferable.
Representative Kiffmeyer, could you tell us the benefits of offline versus online?
The biggest thing, Mr. Chair and members, is that the offline version doesn't involve the cost of all the connections using an internet exterior to the precinct. And also, when you maintain the connections only within the precinct, it's simpler, it's less expensive. And also, on the initial use of electronic rosters, it affords us some greater security when we use them for the first time.
Representative Kiffmeyer, does that mean that there are, like, let's say, two laptops per precinct?
Two laptops, if that's at a minimum. If you need more, then you would have more. And those laptops would either would have a what's called a hard wire, an actual connecting cord to them, so that they are able to stay in sync with one another, so that when you are standing in line, it doesn't matter which computer you go to register or to check in, that you are able to do with either one of them, and then that they are continuously synced up for the voter registration lists. And that way, for the voters' convenience, they don't have to stand in line.
And is that, in this system, does that mean every precinct in the state has to have two computers?
No, well, this is an optional.
Only those that exercise their option to use computers.
Mr. Chairman, this is an optional. And if they opt in to use it, if they decide to use it, then these would be their requirements. But if they choose not to use them, then they would not come under these requirements.
And use the existing method that we have now?
They would use the
as
paper.
As appropriate to this bill.
Yes, they would use the paper eligibility list process instead of the electronic eligibility process.
All right. And then the interconnectivity between the two or more computers per precinct, is that simply a hard line, a hard cable line, that it could be as simple as that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that would be just like you see in many places, computers that are networked together, they have a hard line.
All right. Any questions? Mr. Newman.
Mr. Chairman, just to double check the issue of the fact that this is optional in a lot of rural precincts, there is opposition to using, electronic methods simply because of the very, very small number of voters. And Representative Kiffmeyer, line 41.8 on page R40, a precinct may have a secure network. Is that the language that creates the option to use this?
The Mr. Chair and Senator Newman, the this is optional language, and the I believe we will come to that language, but in this case, that is why the word may is being used.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Newman.
But throughout this bill, when we are dealing with electronic methods, it is uniformly optional throughout the bill. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Senator Newman, absolutely it is optional. This is something that the local units of government choose as to whether this makes sense for their county. For many of the large counties, this has tremendous value for them because just their sheer size. And you're absolutely correct, these small townships that may not be an economically feasible way to do this. And then the paper verification of eligibility is a very suitable way to accomplish the same means, but doing it through their usual paper methods. And I would point out, too, that in the language that we have adopted previously, dealt with paper rosters and paper receipts and anticipated that option of doing it that way. So both are covered in this bill. In this particular case right now, in this section, we just happen to be dealing with the electronic rosters if they choose to use them.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
One other note. Cities can also, instead of purchasing computers, they could rent computers. There's facilities out there that rent computers and laptops, so you can keep the cost down even further.
Yep.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Did we move that language yet? I don't recall.
I think we may have started
yes.
it, but maybe staff knows if we actually completed it or did not.
Did not. I am getting the indication we did not, so we will.
I think we were just explaining yet the difference between online, offline, and going through all of that.
I had to ask for a question.
Absolutely.
That's what happened. Representative Kiffmeyer moves, starting on page R40, lines 41.7, section 3, through lines 41.32 of page R41. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, the Senate has some language there, three lines, use of alternative roster. And I think, Senator Newman, this will help answer your question. Any precinct that opts not to use an electronic poll book must use an alternative roster that ensures election day registrations are subject to the same verification standards as defined. This is referencing previous language. And so I think that is gives you that double specific assurance. Language. Thank you. I knew it was here somewhere. I thought it was before, but it wasn't. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move the adoption of lines 40.32 through lines 40.34 of the Senate language on page R41.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves lines 40.32 through 40.34 of Senate language found on page R41. Any questions? Hearing none.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Helpert. Could you identify yourself for the record again?
This is Max Helpern. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Kiffmeyer, I was hoping that you could explain for me and the committee a little bit more about that subdivision 3 that you just moved. It calls for those precincts that are not using the electronic roster, when they process election day registrants, to subject them to the same verification standards as are in the preceding clauses 1, 2, 3, and 6. So I look up at those preceding clauses for verification standards. Clause 1 speaks of preloading the electronic roster with certain data. Doesn't specify a verification standard. Clause 2 speaks of permitting voting information processed by a computer to be accessible at other computers. Again, not a verification standard, and certainly not applicable in a precinct that wasn't using computers. Clause 3 speaks of providing a printed voter's receipt. And I gather from the context that that's not speaking of a pre-printed form that you tear off a tablet, but something coming out of the computer printer. I mean, that's certainly not a verification standard, and I don't see how it would be applicable without a computer.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Halperin, I think that your point is well made, that the use of the alternative roster is definitely an intention here. But I would like to just ask that we just set this aside, Mr. Chairman,
sure.
Because the intention was not to define them, to connect that, and there may be a simple area here, so we'll just leave it to staff, or it may be referenced in another area. But thank you for bringing it to our attention, because I think that is a very important distinction. I was thinking that this was referring to another area which we had previously done. But thank you very much, and we will clarify that language.
You're welcome, Mr. Chair and Representative Kiffmeyer. You're welcome. I withdraw my question, and for Senator Newman, I would remark that Article 2 contained a couple provisions that spoke to the kind of material that I think Representative Kiffmeyer was trying to point you at here.
Thank you, Mr. Halperin.
And Mr. Halperin, if anybody or staff, if you can go back and see if that is clarified, that that use of alternative roster is clarified somewhere else, that maybe this is not necessary, if you just need a little bit of time to check, or have you already?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, I can confer with Ms. Stengel. I'm not quite sure where this language came from originally. So,
okay.
Representative.
Mr.
Ms. Stengel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, on page R43 in the Senate side, Section 8, it talks about this chapter applies only to precincts that use electronic rosters. Perhaps that's one of the clarifications that we'll come to that might answer that
sort
of question.
What line were you at?
I'm sorry. Page R43 on the Senate side, 43.2. And when we, obviously we're not there yet, but that does add a reference to only precincts that are using it.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I would just like to set aside this issue right here so that we can allow staff I know that there is other language that deals with this because I worked on it, but I just right now I'm not sure exactly where it is. So if we could just set it aside for now.
Representative
so that we could.
Kiffmeyer withdraws her motion.
Mm-hmm. Section 4 of the, on page R41, section 4, again, this is the offline.
Are you referring to Senate or?
House version. House version. In this particular article of the bill, this is all about electronic rosters. The Senate side is all designed for an online internet-type connection. And all of the House language is written from the perspective of the electronic roster. And I just got myself in trouble by trying to go, in this case, to a piece that was written for online on that use of alternative when it was written differently. So in my eagerness to take something from the Senate in this area, I'm getting myself in trouble. So I will leave that just alone. Section 4.
So you're saying Senate language is not written?
No, it was written from a different point.
Or maybe Mr. Halperin said
different
that.
Perspective. Mr. Halperin understands this.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
So, and that's why it doesn't fit as well. But we'll find it and make sure that that other language that specifically covers the option is clarified. Section 4 on page R41. Is the House language, Section 4. So I would move the adoption of Section 4.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R41, Section 4, starting at lines 41.33, going to page R42 and going through lines 42.31 of the House language. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Continuing on to Section 5, 6, and 7. Again, they are identical.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves, starting on page R42 of the Senate language found on lines 41.33, going through to page R43 and ending on lines 42.34 of the Senate language to be adopted. Any questions? Council.
Mr. Chair, on line 42.25 on page R43, there's an additional reference to voters' receipts. Yes. On the Senate side.
That's a different section, though. That's the next section. We're
on section
5. That's on section
6. That's on section 6.
I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about sections 5 and 6.
5, 6, and 7 we were talking about.
5, 6, 7, yes.
So line 42.25.
And we are taking the, I believe this was the Senate language.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm with you now. I just needed to be sure.
Did you want to strike voters' receipt on that? There's a voter receipt on line 42.22, but there's also one on 42.25, and that is different than the House language.
Right. It's a technical issue because on line 42.22 on the House side, it has it as well. On the Senate side, it just repeated again in the same phrasing as it does on the earlier language on the House side.
Yep.
And so that is why the Senate language, it's more consistent, I believe, and repeats it.
Okay. Any other observations? Okay, thank you. I'm going to get you into the Senate yet. Representative Kiffmeyer renews her motion on page R42, section 5 of the House language, starting at line 42.32. Going through to page R43 and ending at 42.34 of the Senate language to be adopted. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. 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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Okay. Representative Kiffmeyer. Section 8 through 13 are also written from the perspective of the House offline. But in addition, in the working with the fiscal note, Mr. Chair and members, the cost was very, very high. And the understanding of why it was so high is because the original language took items that were going from the precinct to the Secretary of State, and normal process is precinct to the county and then county to the Secretary of State. That is what is always done. But in the original language, that was not clear enough. And so we rewrote this section on definitions to clarify, to make sure that we are able to be very specific on the understanding that, first of all, it is an offline approach, and secondly, that it goes from the precinct to the county and then from the county to the Secretary of State. And because the security in uploading or doing anything or communicating is from the precinct to the county, county to the state, and keeping that consistent as well as offline. And so section 8 and section 9 of the House language. I would move the adoption of those languages for those reasons.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves starting on page R43, lines 44.1, notice section 8, section 9, going through lines 44.15. Be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Then, Mr. Chair, on section 10 on the House language, again, this is just continuing the offline approach. But on line 45.7, the Senate included language that said, against activities such as voting more than once, the House language was limiting to just voting twice. It's a technical issue, and it seems that the Senate language, so I would move to amend line 45.7 after the word as, such as vote, or I mean after the word voting, after the word voting.
Strike the word twice.
Strike the word twice and insert more than once.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R44, starting at line 45.7, to strike the word twice and insert more than once. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer moves section 10 of the House language found on page R44, starting on line 44.16 through 45.7 as amended. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion is adopted.
Okay, section 11, minimum standards for data encryption. And so this is identical on both. I'm not identical. This is the another one of those that applies to offline version in section 11. And just to let you know, as a matter of discussion, that in the Secretary of State office for many years, this is the encryption standard. So this is not a new compliance or a new standard for them. This is in current, but it is also good to state it explicitly since we are doing electronic rosters. And so I'd move the adoption of the House language, section 11.
Okay. Representative Kiffmeyer moves to adopt, starting on page R44, lines 45.8, known as section 11, through page R45, lines 45.25. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman, section 12 of the House language, again, the offline approach. Section 13 is the offline approach.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R45, starting at lines 45.26, notice section 12 through lines 45.29. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Section 14.
Representative
did we do 12 and 13?
No. If we can look at R46.
Okay.
Section 12 continues down to 45.33
okay.
on page.
All right.
So in this case, Representative Kiffmeyer moves to adopt the furtherance of House language starting on page R45, section 12, and moves to adopt on page R46, lines 45.30 through lines 45.33. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 No? I mean, no. I'm losing my mind. motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair, would you like to take a break?
I think we can power through the next 13, 14 pages.
Okay. Section 13, I move it up.
If I freak out one more time, then we'll take a break.
Section 13 on page R46, again, is the offline version, and I would move the adoption of section 13. That goes through page 46 and on to 47.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R46, starting at lines 46.1, known as section 13, through page 47, line 47.4, to be adopted. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And then, Mr. Chair, on section 14, immediate following, this is the minimum number of computers required for precincts employing electronic rosters. Mm-hmm. And in this case, Senate language, just a minimum of two computers, but I believe that the House language is a little bit more specific, and we want to make sure that there are, in these larger precincts where you have quite a large polling place, a lot of voters, that there are a sufficient number for them, and so I would move the adoption of Section 14.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R47, House language, section 14, starting on lines 47.5 through 47.11. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Section 15, Mr. Chairman, again, is the offline version, though section 15 is also written from the county basis again.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is written from the perspective of a county submitting to the Secretary of State versus the other one was more from the precinct level. That would be the difference of 4,000 of them versus 87.
All right.
Of those who opted in, of those, and that would be even less. So this makes it simpler, county-based, and then they work with their precincts as they desire. So I would move the adoption of Section 15.
Of House language.
Of House language, yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R47, lines 40, or Section 15, starting at lines 47.12 through 47.23. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, the next section is a legislative task force on electronic roster implementation. And I would just go over the differences between the two, and the large number of language is exactly the same. The Senate version does add on line 48.5, adding the school board association member, which the House members would be acceptable. Wish I'd thought of it myself. Great addition, but the Senate did, so we'll be grateful to you for that.
This was Senator Wieger who
yeah, that's great.
Introduced that on the Senate floor.
That's great. That was a good one. But, Mr. Chair, prior to adopting the legislative task force, on the Senate side, it seems to me that we should have co-chairs, since it's a legislative task force, and that we should have co-chairs, meaning that the member appointed by the Speaker of the House and the member of the Senate appointed by the Majority Leader of the Senate shall serve as co-chairs of the task force. If you'd be amenable to that?
Yes. Could you read, is that the language that you just read?
Yes, it is.
Where would you insert that?
49.2. So it would read, the member of the House of Representatives appointed by the Speaker of the House and the member of the Senate appointed by the Majority Leader of the Senate shall serve as co-chairs of the task force.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves on page R49, starting on lines 49.2, strike the words shall serve as the chair of the task force and insert after the word House. Could you repeat the motion?
And the member of the Senate appointed by the Majority Leader of the Senate shall serve as co-chairs of the task force.
Of the task force. Any questions on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of Section 16 of the Senate language. The rest of it is identical.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves, starting on page R47, lines 47.10, going through, of Senate language, going through page R48 and 49, ending on lines 49.5 as amended.
Actually, it actually continues. I know there's a lot of white space, but there's
going on to page
49.9 on page R50.
Going on to page R50 through 49.9.
Actually, through 49.10. I think that's it's kind of got a lot of white space there. But it ends on 49.10 on page R50.
Ms. Stengel? Okay. Let's withdraw that amendment and start again.
Okay.
Representative Kiffmeyer withdraws her amendment and restates the amendment.
Section 16 on line 47 on page R47.
47.
Starting on line 47.10. Going through page 48, 49.
That's correct.
And page 50.
R50.
Ending on line 49.10.
And including the effective date on line 49.10.
That's correct.
Any questions?
As amended.
As amended. Hearing no questions, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed? Motion is adopted.
Then, Mr. Chair, the last section here again refers to appropriations, and we were going to lay those aside
okay.
and deal with them at the end. Section 18 is an effective date. They are identical. Section 18 on the Senate, Section 17 in the House. But, Mr. Chair, I was wondering, and maybe Mr. Gearing or anybody else, staff here might, the purpose of an effective date of August 14th versus August 1st?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, August 14th, 2012, is the date of the state primary in 2012, so that's why that day was selected.
Seemed like an odd date, and thought there must be a reason, otherwise, okay. So, Mr. Chair, I would move Section 18 of the Senate language.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves, starting on page R51, Section 18, lines 49.27 through
49.29. It's just a very short one.
Through 49.29 of the Senate language. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Kipman.
Mr. Chairman, on Article 4.
Mr. Chair, can I interrupt you briefly? Going back to Section 3 of that article, did you want to touch on that?
Mr. Herring
and I
had
talked about that. We're on page R41, Senate lines 40.32 through 40.34.
Yes.
Can we just get the page?
R41.
Okay. That was the one to clarify the use of alternative roster?
That's correct.
Yes. Mr. Gehring and I conferred, and Dan McGrath had also talked to Mr. Gehring, and we're not sure that we actually need this language. I think if we left it out, it would be...
It's still clear in the language elsewhere?
Yes, but Mr. Gehring and I also have an amendment. If you'd prefer to leave something in there, I think we could go either way.
Well, I'd like to at least take a look at the amendment, yeah.
Okay, the amendment would change on line 40.34. After the same, we would insert eligibility, strike everything after standards, and insert as provided in a precinct using an electronic roster. So that subdivision would read, any precinct that opts not to use an electronic poll book must use an alternative roster that ensures election day registration are subject to the same eligibility verification standards as provided in a precinct using any electronic roster.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I'm not certain that I'm real satisfied with that. Mm-hmm. Mr. Halperin, do you have any comment?
Sure. Please approach the table.
Mr. Chair, I understand the intent that the council is trying to achieve with that, but
sure,
I think it runs a risk of being at odds with the Article 2 provision, which says that the precincts using the paper list of ineligible individuals can restrict it to those who are known to reside within the county, whereas those using the electronic roster would need the full list of all known to the state to be ineligible. So to say here the same standards would create a conflict between two portions of the statute.
I would agree with that, Mr. Chair. And so I think it would be better to leave that we have not adopted it, so
we'll
just leave it out.
We'll come back again. Or do you want to just, are you suggesting taking out the whole?
We haven't adopted
three?
It, so we can just leave it. If we don't act on it, it just stays.
All right.
Not adopted.
We did not adopt the Senate language in this regard.
That's
so
right.
We may come back to it.
We may come back to the subject, Mr. Chair.
Right.
I don't know that this language will, but I still think, remembering, though, that... it is an optional issue, but Mr. Gehring, I remember that we had a section where we talked about a county or any part of a county that opts to use the electronic roster, and that is, it is in here. And we just, if we do not have that, we will go back. Let's leave that just for something, and then maybe we'll take a recess so that I can clarify that.
And one thing, we will be, after we're done putting this bill together or agreeing to these terms, we'll be placing this bill kind of in a state of repose to let it rest a little bit while we, if there's any strings left, we can we can take care of them.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Halperin, for your comments. What page were we back on?
And I would like to mention that Mr. Halperin was very helpful in regards to both the offline and online version, but in particular to the offline version. So I appreciate his good knowledge here. We have availed ourselves of his expertise and assistance previously. And so, Mr. Chair, we are now on to back to page R51 and Article 4, recounts. And, Mr. Chair, in regards to this, the language in Article 4 are all identical, except that on the Senate language, instead of saying he or she, the Senate approaches that area by replacing he or she.
On what line?
I am not certain as to exactly where. Staff who did point this out to me, if you can point us to where that different one of those differences would be.
Mr. Chair, it's on page R58 on Stangle. The Senate lines 57.5 and 6, and on the House language 56.21.
So on page R58 line?
Senate line 57.5 and 6, and House line 56.21.
Oh, right. This is where you do on line 57.5, it's the candidate's representative?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in the House language is if he or she disagrees.
Yes.
So I think
so
the
which
Senate.
Which one is better?
I think the Senate.
I can't hear you.
So, Mr. Chair, on sections 1 through 12 of this article, they are identical except for that difference. And so I would move the adoption of Article 4, Sections 1 through 12, Senate language.
Starting at what page?
Page R51 and through R58. Starting on R51.
Okay. Representative Kiffmeyer moves Senate language found on page R51, Article 4, starting at lines 50.1 through
50.3.
I was including the title, Article
4. Oh, there, I didn't see that.
Starting at lines 50.1 of Senate language through page R52, R53, R54, R55, R56, 57, R58.
It actually
to lines
goes through R60. My mistake.
R59, R60, lines 58.31.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And Mr. Chair, just to clarify again, this is current language in rules. So it is not new language other than the fact that we use candidates representative. Otherwise, it is nothing. It is not new to Minnesota election law.
That's Article 4, the recount provisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just taking them from rules, putting them in statute. And Article 5 is a title, which is a House-only provision. And it is commonly known and been talked about as a 21st Century Voting Act. So since it is that way, I have included that in the House language. If you're amenable, I'd like to move the adoption.
Could I give a suggestion?
Sure.
Would you consider calling it the 21st Century Voting Protection Act or right. Voter Protection Act?
I think that would be an excellent addition.
Any discussion?
Which will it be, though, Voting Protection Act or Voter Protection Act?
I don't know. Actually, we're doing it for the voters to preserve their security of their vote, so I think it would be Voter Protection Act. Any suggestions? Representative Dietrich?
Not that my opinion matters, but I prefer Representative Kiffmeyer's language, the Voting Act. Voting protection, I feel like we're dealing with guns or something.
We've had a lot of discussion this year. Yeah.
It just seems pretty severe, but that's my own opinion.
All right. Any other discussion? Senator Newman?
Mr. Chairman, I guess, excuse me, the language of just the Voting Act is a little bit more neutral.
All right. Let's stay at
neutral.
All right. Good discussion, though.
Good discussion. When I have Representative Dietrich on one side and Senator Newman on the other, I know I'm outgunned. So.
Right.
Senator or Representative Kiffmeyer renews her motion on page R60 to adopt Article 5 starting on line 58.15 through 58.18 as adopted or to be adopted. Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Well, Mr. Chair, it seems like it might be good to just take a 5-minute.
We've been going for about 2-3 hours, so I think we needed to stretch our legs a little bit. We've got provisions for financing and a few little details.
Mr. Chairman, before we leave policy and go to finance and take our recess, I wrote myself a note on R15. Could we just briefly go back to that?
R15.
And it's just a question that I have.
Which line?
Page R15, line 16.6. And this is a thought that I had after we had talked about the language of a territory. What about Washington, D.C.? It's not a state. I don't know if it's a territory or not. I also don't know whether or not they have driver's licenses for that. It's just a question in my mind.
Well, we just happen to have, I think, somebody. Jared Jordahl was here.
Any representative that might know that answer?
The district does have their own driver's license.
Representative Benson. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, they do have their own driver's license. I have children that live in the area.
Okay, Mr. Gearing.
Should we move to include District of Columbia?
Does council have any?
We got everybody else included.
Heck, if we can do a territory, we should be able at least to do Washington, D.C.
And the district.
District of Columbia is what really is the amending that.
Let's see. Where would we put it? State, territory of the United States.
Including District of Columbia?
District of Columbia.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And to be precise.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pennsylvania is a commonwealth.
Yeah, well, they're just.
It is.
So is, I think, Maine and Virginia. New Hampshire, all those eastern states. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll still include you in the 50, though. I think it might be kind of handy. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So one suggestion may be instead of saying state or territory, you could say issued to the voter by the state of Minnesota or any other jurisdiction of the United States?
Ah, that would work.
A voter in the any other jurisdiction.
Issued to the voter by the state of Minnesota or any other jurisdiction of the United States.
I'm not sure if we have a definition of that jurisdiction in this bill. Senator Newman?
I'd be careful.
I think we'd
how about like Wake Island and, I mean, I don't know, but I would be cautious. I don't know what that would mean. I'm pretty comfortable with, say,
including
the
District of
Columbia, but
Columbia?
I don't know what it means where you say any, where, you know, jurisdiction of the United States.
I think we cover what we want to cover by state, territory, or the District of Columbia, I think we do. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we try this? Senator Newman moves. Let's see.
After United States, you could put including the District of Columbia.
Right. Right. Senator Newman, would that be appropriate motion?
How about this, Mr. Chairman? Line 16.6, after the word Minnesota, comma, any other state, comma, territory, or the District of Columbia.
Or would you say territory of the United States or District of Columbia?
Yes.
All right. Senator Newman moves on page R15, line 16.6. After the word Minnesota, insert comma, strike the word or. After the word state, insert comma, strike the second or. After the word states, strike the, is that a colon? Comma, and insert including the District of Columbia.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
If the committee is going to adopt that change, there's a similar language change on page R11, in the House language 11.30. That same phrase is used.
And Senator Newman also adds the same language to line, what is it?
Should I interject?
Oh, he's left.
Mr. Chair?
Line 33.
Sorry to interrupt. It seems like there was some problem or some issue with the word jurisdiction, but if it helps at all, we might want to adopt language similar to that in the rest of the driver's license section dealing with this issue, and I could offer that up as an idea that might be simpler.
Would that be wherever this appears in this bill kind of language, include the same language wherever it's appropriate in this bill? Is that what you were meaning?
Madam Chair, analogous to what's already in the driver's license section,
yes,
of the statute, yes. And that is simply, for instance, in the section stating persons exempt from having a Minnesota driver's license, we have any person who becomes a resident of the state of Minnesota and who has in possession a valid driver's license issued to the person under and pursuant to the laws of some other state or jurisdiction of the United States. So
there you go, jurisdiction wins.
If we can insert other state or jurisdiction of the United States to make it simpler, if that's acceptable to the committee.
Okay. Seems as that is amenable.
Mr. Chair, what's this? If we could have the cite on that.
Senator, the section of statute? Yeah. That would be in section 171.03.
Thank
you,
Mr. Chairman.
And it's paragraph G, particular.
So that gives us a statutory reference to it, so it is.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and Senator, I think I was misunderstanding you. For your own purposes, I gave you the cite, but I don't know that it's.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and yes, I was just asking for my own purposes. I wasn't suggesting it be put in.
All right.
I just want to have an opportunity to look at it later and don't want to have to find it myself.
Okay.
Why don't we do this? On this language, why don't we take a break, and we'll write out the amendment so everyone knows it clearly, and the committee stands in recess. For a few minutes.